Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620kpoj.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, a week and counting, here we are, 7 days from this moment. I hope to be on the grounds of the Capitol watching Barack Obama sworn in. Our show will be carrying live his inauguration and his subsequent speech. You will hear that rather than me on Inauguration Day, at least for the first 30 minutes of this show, until he's done talking. And then, yeah, we're still working out the logistics, oddly enough. And a week from tonight, with a tip of the hat and many thanks to a friend who prefers to remain anonymous, I will be dancing. Well, I probably won't be dancing. I don't know how to dance, but I will be at the inaugural ball, the actual real inaugural ball, the one with Barack and Michelle. In fact, this afternoon at 2:30 or 3:30 this afternoon, Louise and I are going down to the I forget what it's called, but it's one of these local tuxedo shops here in Portland. And I'm getting outfitted for the first time in my life. I'm going to wear a tux because I have no choice. I said, can I, you know, I've got a really nice business suit. I mean, can I wear? No, you have to wear a tux. And so anyway, I'm going to rent a tux and take it with me to Washington, D.C. It should be a good one. So anyhow, welcome, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom in the American way. Hillary is getting questioned on Capitol Hill, or was a little earlier, about, you know, what kind of Secretary of State are you going to be? She says she's not a rigid ideologue. She believes that foreign policy should be based on a marriage of principles and pragmatism, and she advocates smart power. I just, you know, hallelujah. The heavenly choruses are singing. We're going to have rational foreign policy in the United States. Bernie Madoff, they let him go back to his apartment. Why is it if you stick up a 7-Eleven and you make off with $100, they throw your ass in jail? But if you make off with $1 billion or $50 billion, then you get to stay in your penthouse apartment. And then if you try to smuggle $1 million of it out to your family and friends and jewelry at Christmas time under the guise of Christmas gifts, they get very, very upset with you and they say, you really have to stay in your apartment. Or if you walk around outside, you really have to wear an ankle bracelet. Do we have two kinds of justice in this country, one for the very rich and one for everybody? Well, do I even have to ask? I mean, you know, imagine if Bernie Madoff had instead been busted with, say, you know, an ounce of pot or a couple of grams of cocaine or something. I mean, it's just incredible. Looks like closing Guantanamo is a process that's going to take about a year. Sony has just announced that they lost $1 billion. Obama's still trying to make a decision about Afghanistan. I'm telling you, if he doesn't get out of that country, that's going to be his Vietnam. I've been saying this ever since 2002. I told, you know, in the very beginning on this program, I said, George Bush, do not drop bombs on Afghanistan. That's not the way to get bin Laden. They will give him to us. Well, not to us. They offered to give him to a third country where he would get a fair trial. And Bush said, no, don't want to do it. But that's not the that's sort of the news of the day, some of the things that are going on, and some of them quite interesting. And by the way, in our second hour, Dan Gaynor, the VP of the Business and Media Institute, T. Boone Pickens Fellow, is going to drop by. He has this interesting idea that the economic disaster that we're experiencing it has nothing to do with the Republicans or George Bush or two Santa Clauses or Judah Witiski or Grover Norquist or anything. It's because of the liberal media. That's going to be an interesting conversation. And in our third hour, it's going to get really interesting because two of my favorite people, actually, Dean Baker is going to be in the second hour, at the bottom of the second hour of the show. And he's got this, he was writing about it yesterday. He's got this suggestion about how we can solve the mortgage crisis that on its face makes so much sense that I thought this can't possibly work. And so I wanted to get Dean on and ask him, you know, his thoughts on this. And Larry Beinhart is going to be here in our third hour talking about why we should roll back, as I've been calling for 6 years. I've been saying, forget the Bush tax cuts. Roll back the Reagan tax cuts. Take the top marginal rate back up to 74% and plug the loopholes. Raise corporate taxes. We had when corporate taxes and taxes on the very rich were reasonable. They're unreasonable. They're unreasonably low right now. The working people of America are carrying way too much of the, you know, as Warren Buffett wrote in the Berkshire Hathaway annual report 2 years ago, quote, corporate taxes are at the lowest level since 1934, 7.4% of all federal tax receipts, down from 32% in 1952. So anyhow, that's what's coming up. But here's the stuff that's really got me scratching my head, and I'm interested in your thoughts on this as well. Number one, the Safety Council. See, here come the conservatives, right? I'm saying this tongue in cheek, but this is how it should be played. All right, here come the conservatives. They want to tell us what we should do in our bedrooms or what we shouldn't do, with whom we should do it or whom we shouldn't do it with, what kinds of drugs we can take and when and where and how and under what circumstances, what you can smoke in your living room or when. Now they want to tell you that when you're driving your car, you cannot use a hands-free cell phone. You know, little Bluetooth things that most new cars have where, you know, you've got the phone in your pocket and your car answers the phone and you're just talking at the windshield wipers or at the dashboard. You don't even have to take your phone out of your pocket, right? Hands-free phones. And they're saying we should ban this. Turns out 2,600 deaths, 12,000 serious injuries a year. This is 6% of vehicle crashes are attributed to people using phones. Now, that's not hands-free phones. That's just phones. But included in that is some small percentage of people who are using hands-free phones. And they say, let's make that illegal. I say, enough of the conservatives trying to tell us what we can do or not do anywhere on earth. And or maybe we should just ban talking in the car, because their argument is, well, in fact, here, this from Frocher. Who is Frocher? Where's the first? Janet Frocher. She is the group's president and chief executive of the National Safety Council. She says it's not just what you're doing with your hands. It's that your head is in the conversation. Okay, so let's ban talking to people in the car. In fact, let's even take it a step beyond that. Let's make it required that people have duct tape in their car, and that when they get in and sit down, not only do you have to fasten your seatbelt, but you also have to tear off a 3-inch strip of duct tape and put it over your mouth. Because how are you going to know? I mean, if a police officer is driving by and they see somebody talking, they see their mouth moving, how do they know that that person is not talking to the person next to them or is not talking on a hands-free phone? They stop you. They say, hey, I saw you talking on a hands-free phone. No, I was just talking to the person next to me. Hey, I saw you talking to that person next to me. No, I was just yawning. Well, if you're wearing the duct tape, there's no possibility of a mistake. And then all we need to do is, like in the United Kingdom, in England, they have all these cameras all over the place. The UK is the surveillance society. I'm serious about this. More than any other country in the world. Now, China is trying to catch up, but we're really number two. Actually, we're not. There's another country in the Middle East that's number two, but we're picking up quickly. But they've got face recognition technology. You can't go anywhere in the United Kingdom without being observed. And here in the United States now, they've got these cameras in the war on drugs, you know, these cameras in these vans that look for infrared, and they drive by and they scan your house to see if you've got grow lights in there. And there have been a number of cases in the last couple of years where they've kicked in the doors, they've come in with guns drawn, AK-47s, throw people to the ground, handcuff them, kick them around, knock them upside the head, and only to discover that they're growing wheatgrass. They're health food nuts. I shouldn't say nuts. I grow wheatgrass myself, but you get the point. Or they're growing vegetables. Oh, we thought you were growing pot. So anyhow, should we do this? And here's the last thing that I want to bring up. This, most amazingly, on the front page, this is a front page story of the Financial Times today, one of the top four stories in the world for people in the financial world. If your ring finger is longer than your index finger, now, typically the length is only a small little bit. It's maybe a 16th of an inch or so. If your ring finger is longer than your index finger, then you are destined for success as a trader on the floor of a stock exchange. In fact, a dramatic level of success. We're talking about hundreds of thousands. Well, here, I've got the number here. I'll share it with you after the break, how much more money these people make. It is really quite boggling to the mind. It seems like an incredible upside. Oh, yeah, they make an average of 680,000 British pounds more than their compatriots. Almost $1 million. But there's a downside to it, too. I'll tell you about that after the break, and then we'll take your calls on all the issues of the day.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Hey, it's Tom Hartman. Guys, I know how easy it is to get wrapped up in everyday life. You just flat out ignore your health. I hate to point out the obvious, but sometimes we need to be reminded that without our health, life as we know it becomes extremely difficult. Let me take a few seconds to talk about prostate health and how this small gland can lead to big problems if you ignore it. The classic signs of an unhealthy prostate include the following: difficulty urinating, frequent night bathroom trips, and even sexual dysfunction. Unfortunately, every man will have some sort of prostate-related health issue if he lives long enough. And we all should, right? You should visit your doctor for regular checkups and take Beta Prostate to support proper prostate function. Ignoring your prostate will not make your problems go away. Beta Prostate provides effective, all-natural support. Call and order Beta Prostate risk-free today. Dial 1-800-954-0803. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Dial 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
This is a change in the definition of what America is.
Rachel Maddow.
We've long had a very, 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 very diverse country. We just have been very resistant to the idea that our government ought to look as diverse as our country.
That has now changed.
But it is also a big day for the Democratic Party. And it is a very big day for the Republican Party.
Rachel Maddow.
Which now has no obvious leader, no clear direction.
Evening, 6 to 8.
No clear guiding ideology, either economically or in terms of foreign policy.
On AM 620, KPOJ.
Hey, Carl Wolfson here. One of the perks for KPOJ listeners is getting exclusive deals from our loyal advertisers. Here's one you can't afford to pass up. During January, Floor Trends Northwest is offering free basic installation on any carpet purchase over 50 yards. That's a savings of hundreds of dollars. They're also offering up to 50% off all overstock carpet and hardwood. Now is the time to take advantage of these huge discounts only for KPOJ listeners, only at Floor Trends Northwest in Selwood.
If you need dental work, but you just can't bring yourself to go, Dr. Floyd Cash can relate. As a child, he had a bad experience at the dentist and didn't want to go back.
I was worried about going a whole week ahead of time, and I couldn't sleep the night before, and the more I went, the worse it got.
Dr. Cash runs Sleep Dentistry of Portland, dedicated to helping people who have trouble going to the dentist. From oral sedation to IV sedation or even general anesthesia, Sleep Dentistry of Portland offers the dental work you need in a gentle, non-judgmental atmosphere.
That's what I've been doing since the first day I opened. I've tried to be the gentle dentist, mainly because I knew what had bothered me, so I was trying not to create that in anybody else.
Your introductory appointment is just a dollar, including full examination, any necessary x-rays, and consultation. Get the details at sleepdentistryofportland.com or call 503-405-7686. Sleep Dentistry of Portland.
Morning, gentlemen. Want to hear our specials?
Sure.
First, we have the seafood special. It's been sitting around here for a week. We're known around these parts for our food poisoning.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. It's called A1C, a simple blood test that can help measure your risk of complications such as heart attack. To find out more, go to www.diabetesa1c.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Who do you ping for?
Your mother, sister, grandmother, daughter, friend. Whether you're a survivor or co-survivor of cancer, we all ping for someone. Now you can ping with us 24/7 and support life-saving research at City of Hope. With new approaches like immunotherapy that use the body's own immune system to fight cancer and the development of four of the leading cancer drugs, City of Hope is helping save lives everywhere, every day. Learn more at whodoyoupingfor.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program, brought to you in part by the Teamsters, proud supporters of the Employee Free Choice Act, as am I. You can read all about the Employee Free Choice Act and, of course, about the Teamsters over at teamstersingular.org. And a fine website it is. Okay, here's the deal. Somebody in the chat room says, you know, when I take Viagra, ring finger gets a little longer. Actually, there's something to that. This was published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences of the United States. It was just published. This is the ratio. It's referred to as the 2D-4D ratio, which basically is the second digit to the fourth digit on the hand, the index finger to the ring finger. And what causes this change, what causes the ring finger to be longer than the index finger, is the amount of testosterone circulating in the bloodstream or in the uterus of a pregnant woman between the 9th and 18th week of gestation. So it's basically the 3rd, 4th, 5th month, would that be, I think, if I'm doing my math right. In that period of time, the levels of testosterone that are floating around in the woman, and this, you know, there's a big debate about whether this is the result of people getting it on while they're pregnant, and the testosterone coming from dad, or whether this is a genetic thing, you know, mom has high testosterone levels. Nobody knows. There's speculation on both sides. But the bottom line is that when there's a lot of testosterone in the womb during that 9th to 18th week, then the baby is born with a ring finger that's a little bit longer than the index finger. And these folks tend to be very, very driven, very hard-charging folks. And, for example, this from the front page of today's Financial Times, researchers at Cambridge University have found a strong statistical link between the profitability of male traders at a London bank and the ratio of index to ring fingers in the right hand. And then they talk about this. Traders with the lowest 2D-4D ratios, in other words, had the longest ring finger as opposed to their index finger, had an average annual income of £680,000, 11 times higher than those with the highest ratios, in other words, with the shortest ring finger. And they try to make money from fleeting price anomalies and hold their positions for minutes or even seconds. And then John Coates, who was one of the researchers, a research fellow at the business school at Cambridge University, writing an op-ed on the opinion page today. This is the big news in the Financial Times, the International Business Press. This is the big news. He writes about this, and he says, these traders take large positions up to $2 billion at a time, but hold them for only a few minutes, sometimes mere seconds. They make quick decisions and have little time for doubt or researched analysis. High-frequency traders inhabit a brutal segment of the market, these folks with these long ring fingers. The advantages, they say, you know, now, so should companies start just hiring people with long ring fingers? Well, maybe, maybe not. They say the advantage of the 2D, 4D can be compared, for example, to height in tennis. Height gives an advantage in serve, speed, and reach. But if you only hired people for tennis based on height, you never would have hired Jimmy Connors, who's only 5'9" tall, but won 8 Grand Slam titles. They also say it might be a hindrance. This is an interesting thing. The androgenic traits that benefit short-term trading may also prove a hindrance in types of trading requiring a long holding period. In other words, these people do not delay gratification easily. For example, men tend to overtrade their investment accounts, causing them to underperform women. Furthermore, men appear to use more heuristic cognitive shortcuts which help in rapid transactions, while women seem to prefer more complete information. The markets need both approaches, but problems arise when short-term trading extends into banking and asset management. In other words, maybe this whole asset bubble and the whole meltdown of the economy is because there's some guys with long ring fingers who were put in positions on trading floors. In fact, in the op-ed in today's Financial Times, when this happens, banks are in danger of positioning securities that perform well in the short term but later prove toxic. So, shall we start analyzing people's fingers? And is this an indicator of success in other areas? I don't know. This is an interesting thing. And should we ban people from using cell phones? Even hands? How do you ban people from using hands-free cell phones? This makes no sense to me. Bob in New York City. Hey, Bob, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, a comment about using cell phones while you're driving.
Yes,
there are researchers who have shown that using a low-fidelity instrument like a cell phone as compared to a high-fidelity radio or even talking to a person in a car takes more brain processing power. It's what McLuhan called a cool medium. And you actually develop a form of tunnel vision while you're doing that. They've shown through research results.
Right, but if it was Bluetooth and it was running through the speakers in your car, that would not be the case, would it?
Well, it's still low fidelity. The signal is coming from the cell carrier, not from the FM radio station.
Oh, so the bandwidth. Well, that's interesting. Now, here, let me extend the logic on this. You're saying that because the bandwidth is narrow, because there's not such a broad spectrum of frequency, the brain has to focus on it more intently. You know, AM radio has a narrower bandwidth than FM radio. Should we ban AM radio?
Well, I guess you have to find the degree of involvement.
There's some critical threshold there. That's interesting, Bob. Thank you very much. I tell you, I got the smartest listeners in the world. Smartest listeners in the world in this program. I thought I was bringing some science to the table here, and Bob trumps me. Well done, Bob. Well done. 27 minutes past the hour. Back with your calls. 866-303-2270.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman. Nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station. AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to your radio. Tom Hartman here with you. The Truth in Broadcasting Zone. Well, you know, this is kind of funny, but in a way it's not kind of funny. It's a three-legged stool. This from Agence France-Presse. A three-legged stool and a traditional Luo oxtail fly whisk are some of the traditional household items that could bring a new feel to the Oval Office, courtesy of Barack Obama's Kenyan grandmother. Quoted in the Standard newspaper Monday, she said she had hoped to bring a traditional spear and shield from her Luo tribe when she flies to Washington on Friday with other family members. However, apparently the airline said no. So, well, I don't know. I think it would have been, you know, a nice touch. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. And Gary in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, Gary, what's on your mind?
I was listening to Dr. Dean Adell several years ago, and he was talking about a study that had been done about cell phone usage, and it concluded that approximately 10 minutes after the call was completed, you're at the greatest risk of an accident. And his conclusion was possibly because at that time you were actually thinking about what you wish you had said but didn't get to say. And, I listened to an interview yesterday with this guy from Center for Safety or whatever it was that was talking about this, that's coming up with this nonsense idea. And the inference was, you know, if you just pull over and stuff, they don't realize how much a hazard that would be for trucks and everybody else that was pulling over beside the right side of the road. And couple that with this other study, I think.
Well, if Dean Adell's study is right, Gary, we should ban driving while thinking.
That's well. I think you know. I think we just should slow down to 5 or 10 miles an hour, and you know, and never do it unless the weather is perfect. And it just the problem is you're going to get some group that's going to push this thing through, and it's just nonsense.
Right, but how do you know if somebody's
a good idea to extremes?
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Well said, Gary. How do you know if somebody's using a hands-free cell phone? You know, they're sitting in their car talking. How do you know they're not singing a song? How do you know they're not praying? How do you know they're not talking to somebody else in the car? You can't see somebody in the car. Maybe they're talking to a kid or somebody who's really short or somebody who's laying down in the back seat because their stomach or their back hurts or something, or they're just resting. I mean, you know, what? How? This is over the top. Rob in Minnesota. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Tom. Happy New Year. You're going
Thank
to
you.
An inaugural ball and you've got to wear a tuxedo?
I do. That's the rules. I'm
Are you gonna have to wear the top hat too?
You know, I don't have any idea. I'll find out when I go to the tuxedo store today, I guess. But the question hadn't even occurred to me. Like I said, I've never worn a tuxedo. I successfully avoided high school prom night.
How about going the other way? You know, you wear the tuxedo top shirt and the tie and everything. You go press blue jeans.
That's. I don't think they'll let me into the White House, Rob.
as far as the cell phone thing, I'm a truck driver. I get to be able to see what's going on out here on the highway and all these people that drive around in the city and stuff like this. I can see it makes sense to a little bit. If you're in city traffic, having to look out for the side streets, the stoplights, and all those other things, it's a good idea to concentrate on what you're doing. If you're out there on the open road, you know, you're going one way, everybody else is going the same way. It's where that, you know, I mean, there's all those different circumstances they got to take into consideration.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a difference. I'm not at all opposed to it. In fact, I'm all in favor of a ban on using a cell phone where you have to hold the phone up to your ear, because then you're driving with one hand. And you're having to, you know, find the buttons and all that kind of thing. I'm totally in favor of that kind of a ban. But this is a whole different thing. This is basically driving while talking. Rob, well said. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And if anybody has fashion advice vis-a-vis a tuxedo, this is something I know nothing about. So feel free to give me a shout and let me know. Mike in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Tom. I usually find myself in agreement with you, but regarding the cell phone safety issue while driving, it has been demonstrated in a number of studies how it doesn't make any difference in terms of the danger whether or not you're using a hands-free set. But I'd like to introduce a little slightly different wrinkle. Why don't we test for the ability to talk or drive distracted when we issue driver's licenses? There are varying degrees of ability. People
multitasking skills.
Jets. Well, right, exactly. People who fly commercial jets have to be able to multitask, talk on an earpiece, manage a whole raft of gauges in front of them, and not crash the plane.
Right, so all the people with attention deficit disorder will do just fine, thank you very much. And all the people who make their livings as a bookkeeper who are very, very highly focused, they're going to be in deep trouble. They won't be able to drive. Or at least they won't be able to drive and talk on the phone at the same time. Interesting.
Well, you would issue a less. There'd be an ordinary Class C license that would entitle you to drive.
Right, and then you have to have a special. Interesting idea, Mike. And then you have to have special license plates that designate you as competent to drive and multitask or incompetent to drive and multitask. Maybe that's the way to do it. Mary in Seattle. Hey, Mary.
Hi, Tom. Regarding the length of your index finger versus your ring finger.
Yes.
When I was in high school, I'm a lesbian, and I graduated in early 80s, and we had this funny joke that we would say, hey, if a woman's ring finger's longer than her index finger, she's most likely gay.
And
it was just sort of a elbow in the rib, ha-ha. And then when you said that, it started to make sense about the testosterone.
Higher testosterone levels in utero, yeah. Is that, Mary, just seriously for a moment, if you're a gay woman and have been all your life, have you noticed that your or your friend's ring fingers are longer than their index fingers?
Indeed. Yes.
Indeed.
I mean, it's a kind of a funny party thing to talk about.
That's interesting.
You know, and mine are significantly. They're like half an inch longer.
Wow. Well, you'd also make a great trader on the floor of the London Stock Exchange. You could make an extra 600,000 pounds a year.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'm a mother. That's all I need to be.
There you go. But see, this also, where this might actually have some useful application is, with gay men, there has been some science indicating that there's a part of the brain, and I'm forgetting which part it is. I think it's the pituitary that is physically different in size between gay men and straight men. But they hadn't found that difference among women. But if the finger difference indicates exposure to testosterone and there's a difference in women, this again demonstrates that this canard of the right, that people choose to be gay, is nonsense, and that there is a biological basis for it.
Oh, I had a crush when I was in fourth grade, and that's when kids get crushes. Well, it was on a little gal in sixth grade.
Yeah.
It's just never been a question. So I thought it gave me a smile that we've been playing a scientific party game all this time.
There you go. Mary, thanks for sharing that with us.
Thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, I'm telling you, we do have the smartest and the most well-informed listeners on earth. I am so privileged to do this show. David in Miami, listening on WINS. Hey, David.
Yeah, hey, Tom. How's everything?
Just great.
Good. Listen, I'm calling in regards to what you said earlier about conservatives attempting to control everything we do, like what we do in the bedroom and what drugs we put into our bodies and all that stuff. And the thing specifically I wanted to mention was the drugs thing. I'm 55 years old, and I've been a recreational marijuana smoker since I was 17. And for the life of me, I'll never understand why my recreation is something that's criminalized, not just prohibited, but I could actually go to jail for something that I just happen to enjoy doing here at my house.
In large part because William Randolph Hearst owned a lot of forests, and he did not want, and he was buying a lot of his own newsprint from himself, and he didn't want competition from the people who were making paper out of hemp. In large part because the cotton growers, the cotton industry was very, very well organized all the way back to the founding of this country.
Let me interrupt you for a moment because I know the history behind that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what's going on now, the thing that's happening now, I mean, that was many years ago, and we still have this situation, there's been some reform that's gone, that's happened. But it's very, very difficult to implement this reform. And I would want to mention, too, that aside from the conservatives, there are a lot of so-called liberals who take the same position. They're just adamantly opposed to any type of marijuana law reform.
Yeah.
And we have.
Well, then they're crazy, David, and they're wrong. Because the bottom line is, if it's in my opinion, if it grows naturally on the earth, we have no right legislating it. We can warn people about it or whatever, and if you've been smoking dope all those years, I guarantee you your liver is in a whole lot better shape than somebody who has been using equivalent amounts of alcohol. And we just need to acknowledge that. David in Phoenix. Hey, David, just got a minute here before the break. What's up?
I'm just really quick. The police force and many other agencies in this country use radios and cell phones and all types of other devices. Would it require a special endorsement? Is that what their logic is? Or is there a special, is there a special logic in someone's mind that there are a special ability? I mean, everyone has gotten used to, and it's a communication standard in this country.
Should we ban CB radios for truckers?
Right.
should we ban?
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Thank you, David. Well said. I understand. I don't want somebody text messaging while they're driving. I don't want somebody reading their BlackBerry or their iPhone while they're driving, and I don't want somebody using a phone at their head when they're driving, because we know. I mean, there's no doubt that that's dangerous. But Bluetooth over the phone? Come on. Or over the car? Come on.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code BLUE to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, BLUE, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco, and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code BLUE, WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth? It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evening, 8 to 11, AM 620 KPOJ, 620KPOJ.com.
Morning, gentlemen. Want to hear our specials?
Sure.
First, we have the seafood special. It's been sitting around here for a week. We're known around these parts for our food poisoning.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. It's called A1C, a simple blood test that can help measure your risk of complications such as heart attack. To find out more, go to www.diabetesa1c.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
If you're ever in Columbus, Georgia, be sure to see the Lunchbox Museum there. Collectors love this place like Elvis fans love Graceland. Now, if you're more into Pez dispensers, stop by the Museum of Pez Memorabilia in Burlingame, California. Or heck, stay close to home and see America's largest antiques and collectibles show this weekend, where you can not only look at all kinds of collectibles, you can buy them. Collectors may love different kinds of things, but they all love the thrill of the hunt, especially at America's largest antiques and collectibles show in the exhibit hall at the Clark County Fairgrounds. 500 booths filled with everything from fine antiques like estate jewelry, glass, sterling, furniture, to cool collectibles, sports and pop culture stuff, art deco, all kinds of unique things to decorate your home or workspace. If it's old and collectible, it's here. Need an appraisal? Talk to the experts for just $5 an item. America's largest antiques and collectibles show, this weekend in the exhibit hall at the Clark County Fairgrounds.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
You may think Hollywood and history have told this story, but our moon has another side, a shadowland of dreams, politics, and human cost. Portland Center Stage presents the world premiere of Apollo by Nancy Keystone. Whatever you thought you knew about the space race or the theater, Apollo will open your eyes. Call 503-445-3700 or visit pcs.org.
You will find prices
so low
at DaveSmith.com. Dave Smith Motors is confident that you will find
the lowest of low prices
on over 1,500 new Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Chevy, GMC, Pontiac, Buick, Cadillac, and top quality pre-owned vehicles. People all over the United States buy from DaveSmith.com. We are confident it is worth buying from DaveSmith.com. Get your
low price today.
800-635-8000 or DaveSmith.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a faithful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man, the skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set sail that day for a three-hour tour. A three-hour tour. The weather started getting rough, the tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost. The minnow would be lost.
Yes, well, and the minnow wasn't lost. And our houseboat hasn't floated away. But here's where it gets really interesting. This is an actual job offer. How'd you like to live on an island for $100,000 a year And all you have to do is walk around, go snorkeling, hang out in your oceanfront villa, free airfare, by the way, from your home country, for a year in Australia on the Great Barrier Reef, and write a weekly blog about it. That's the job, write a weekly blog about it. Applications are open until February 22nd. 11 finalists will be flown to Hamilton Island in May for the final selection process. This is one of the islands near the Great Barrier Reef in the north, let's see, eastern part of Australia. I've been there. I've been diving on the reef. It's amazing. And $100,000 a year to just hang out and blog. Bloggers take notice. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Hugh in Shepherd, Michigan. Hey, Hugh, what's up?
About driving while on the cell phone, my idea on that is that if you get in an accident, it's real easy to check if you were on the phone. And if you were, it's no different than drunk driving.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that makes perfect sense, particularly. And, in fact, that's probably how the law works in those states where it's illegal to use a non-hands-free phone. If you're using a hands-free phone, it might be a little harder to tell if you were on the phone or not. This is the level where it just starts getting weird in my mind. So, anyhow, Ramon in Washington, D.C. Hey, Ramon, what's up?
Hey, Mr. Hartman, I did want to thank you very briefly. A while back during the election, you said that black people are not racist, and I did want to thank you for that. I did know something on conservative media weird during the election that before the election was over with, Fox News was pretty critical about Obama, but all of a sudden after you won, they've been saying a lot of nice stuff about him. But the day after the election was won, I was listening to Monica Crowley's show. Monica Crowley was going off. She was beyond angry, you know what I mean? And then you have Rush Limbaugh saying, you know, doing the Barack the Magic Negro skit. And
the war is on, Ramon.
It's just unbelievable. I mean, I think conservatives are having a little trouble understanding how they lost the election. I mean, in fact, a lot of them say, well, we weren't conservative enough. It seems to me that they were too conservative about caring about people's health care, about taking care about people's pay and benefits, and that's pretty much what cost them the election.
Yeah, the bottom line, well said, thank you. The bottom line is that the left in America is actually the mainstream. The positions that I take on this show are, by and large, positions that are the mainstream in America. Well over 60-70% of Americans agree with virtually all the positions that I take on this program. And the conservatives have always been a small minority, and it's just now becoming evident, I guess. Michael in Washington. Hey, Michael. Michael in Yelm, you're on the air. Michael is not on the air. Tony in Massachusetts, listening to WHNP. Hey, Tony, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
He's great.
Just a quick comment for you, and before I start, I'll just let you know I'm talking through my Motorola Bluetooth headphone as I'm driving.
Okay.
A comment on marijuana. In Massachusetts, I'm sure you're aware, it just became decriminalized.
Yeah, I was not aware, but that's good.
It was just decriminalized. It's now a $100 fine if you're caught with anything less than an ounce of marijuana.
That's great.
Yeah, an ounce is a lot, too. Anyways, I used to be attached to a National Guard unit, which was attached to a raid unit. And this is an idea of how much we're spending on marijuana. We used to get a phone call from either the DEA or the FBI, and they'd charter our choppers out to go look for it if they had a lead on possibly where it could be. And it cost, you know how much it costs to charter a guard helicopter through the state? I mean, it's expensive. You're in the orders of sometimes $1 million or so.
Wow.
And it's a lot of state funding that's diverted to preventing marijuana growth or, you know, whatever. If we get a lead on, let's say someone's growing in their house, you know.
It's really silly. We're having a war on a plant? I mean, come on. We're having a war on a plant? This makes absolutely no sense. Tony, thanks for sharing that story. I appreciate it. Danny in Los Angeles. Hey, Danny.
Hey. You know, I remember seeing a program on Inside Edition. They were talking about how morning glories, if eaten, there's a seed inside. If you eat the seed, it has an effect similar to LSD.
Yeah, they contain actually a variation of lysergic acid diethyl amide, and it's only the heavenly blue variety. And by the way, here's a warning, you will probably puke your guts out before you get high. It's not the most pleasant way to do it.
But it is there
and it is legal, and it's not, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody because it's pretty nasty.
Right, right. That, well, that was really part of the question was just, you know, well, are they going to illegal make other things illegal as well that might have hallucinogenic properties in them?
Well, they've tried. I mean, you know, it's belladonna, for example, and scopolamine and atropine are compounds that used to be in contact cold capsules that just dry out your sinuses. In fact, women back in Egypt used to take belladonna because it dilates the pupils. And if you take a fairly high dose of it, you get a little bit high, a little stoned. And so they banned that, and they took it out of their, you know, because I guess kids in the 60s were using it, whatever. I mean, just at a certain point, it gets stupid, and that's what's been going on. You know, thanks a lot for the call. It's in Springfield, Massachusetts. I'm sorry your name isn't showing up on my call screening software, and we just have a minute. Do you?
Just for Chad?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Tom. I just wanted to talk about the cell phone, the Bluetooth, and how the police will not be able to tell whether you're on the phone or not. I think basically what they're changing the law is so that now they'll have the law on their side and the right to go in and check your cell phone records and find out if you were actually on the phone at the time of an accident, probably for a serious accident or something. But I think that's basically what they're trying to do, so they can get in there and tell exactly if you're on the phone at that time.
Yeah, but what about all those accidents that are caused by somebody talking to the person next to them in the car?
Oh, yeah, I agree with you.
I can't tell you how many times I've been a passenger in a car, and when somebody's driving, I mean, when I'm driving, I'm talking to somebody, I don't turn my head and look at them all the time. But there are some people who just compulsively do that. I'm a passenger, they're driving, and they're constantly turning over and looking at me, and I'm going, keep your eyes on the road! You know, it's like, are we going to ban that? Have we all gone nuts?
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Dan Gaynor is with us. He is the Vice President of the Business and Media Institute, businessandmedia.org, the website, also a T. Boone Pickens fellow there. And Dan, first of all, welcome back to our show.
It's always a pleasure, and Happy New Year to you and everybody listening.
Well, thank you, Dan, and the same to you and your family and friends and associates. Dan, Joe the Plumber says that reporters should not report. And that they actually shouldn't, he who has now become a war correspondent says that reporters should not go into war zones and should not report on wars because, after all, those images that we see in newsreels that let us know what's going on, which come from reporters, somehow don't come from reporters or something like that. I never quite did figure out exactly what he was saying, but he says basically reporters shouldn't report. My comment to you, since you're suggesting that the media's reporting on the Second Republican Great Depression is what's causing it, my question to you is, et tu, Brute?
Well, first of all, let's get a couple things straight. We're not in a depression. Ben Bernanke, who's unlike either one of us, a professional economist and an expert on the Great Depression, says we're nowhere near it. Unemployment is 6.7% to the last time. Now it's 7.2. Maybe we'll get there. There's certainly a lot of wrong-headed ideas in Washington from both parties that may push us there. But and yes, the media have pushed us there. What they're reporting on right now, they got an economy in trouble. They should be reporting it, just as you should report from a war zone. But how you report is an important thing. When you report in 2004 warning about a recession that doesn't happen until nearly 2008, you have an impact. When you report in 2005, a year when 2 million jobs were added, which by even Paul Krugman's definition meets the standard of what you need for a growing economy, when you do that and the network news shows, ABC, CBS, and NBC, do more than half their stories about job losses, it has an impact. It's the same impact that you hope that your advertisers, you know, have when they do a commercial endlessly. what your advertiser is selling, hopefully very good products that your customer, your listeners will buy.
So the problem is people in the media who are out there scaring the hell out of people. Should the media have refused to cover George W. Bush when he got up behind the podium and said that we are at risk of entering something as bad as the Great Depression?
No, of course not. But what they should do...
Henry Paulson, is he one of the fearmongers here?
Actually, Henry Paulson is a guy who needs a PR guy because, I mean, Henry Paulson is...
Henry Paulson needs a lobotomy.
Anybody's cause. But you know, see, you're assuming that people reporting what's going on now is what we're talking about, and it's not. People who reported on... If you helped lay the groundwork for economy, and I mean, look back to 2007 when you had... And you don't have to like Neil Cavuto. How about Maria Bartiromo, one of the most well-known financial journalists in television, warning people that we're in danger of talking ourselves into a recession?
Dan, I think you are just absolutely going the wrong way down this railroad track here, and it's just going to smack you into a wall. I mean, back in 83, when Reagan did his tax cut, 82 and 83, when Reagan did his tax cut, there were people who were saying, you know, that high top marginal tax rate and you know, reasonable taxes on business are stabilizers for the economy. You pull those things out, you're going to have a crash. He pulled them out, he had a crash. He had to double taxes on working people. He had to pass the largest tax increase in the history of the world in order to pull us out of that crash. And you know, we've been burdened with that ever since. And then he had to start borrowing from Social Security on the sly with Alan Greenspan's help and basically lie to us about it. And then even that didn't work, and he had to borrow more money during the 8 years of his presidency than every president combined since George Washington. We have had 28 years of failed conservative economic policies that are compounding each other year after year after year. And then you add to that insane trade policies, which have been cheerleaded by both Republicans and Democrats like Bill Clinton, this so-called free trade. And all of this has hollowed out our industrial infrastructure. It has hollowed out our economy. We may be creating jobs, but there, do you want fries with that? Jobs rather than good jobs that actually pay a decent living. And you're suggesting that we should not be reporting on this? Come on, Dan.
You're completely misrepresenting. Frankly, I think you're misrepresenting the economy and what I said. So let me address both of those. Misrepresenting the economy, you know, you act like the United States is an island. You just, another one of the people wants to throw up walls and throw up trade barriers and not admit that we're part of a global economy.
You are absolutely right.
We are
no,
part of a global economy.
No, you are absolutely right about me. I am an America first guy. I believe in the United States of America, and I think every other country around the world should also put themselves first. I think it's incumbent. That's the reason why we have nation states. And I want to say that we should be doing for America what's best for America. I think it's outrageous that Hewlett-Packard, for example, just to pull a name out of the air because Carly Fiorina was so visible during the John McCain campaign as the hero of economics, that Hewlett-Packard can shut down their factories in the United States, open factories in China, manufacture stuff in China, ship it over here with labor that's 50 cents an hour, a dollar an hour, keep their profits outside the United States, never pay a damn penny of U.S. income tax on all that profit as long as they keep it outside the United States. And somehow that's considered rational policy? That's destroying this country, Dan.
It's the you're trying to say that we need to compete in a situation where, in a global environment where companies are global, where companies have offices and have businesses.
I'm saying we need to do the same thing that Korea does, the South Korea, the same thing that Japan does, and the same thing that China does, by the way. China has import tariffs. If you take a U.S. car, General Motors wants to sell a car in China, they either A, have to have a 50-50 partner with a Chinese corporation, which they do, by the way, or they have to pay a 22% import tax when that car hits the shore in China. If China wants to sell a car in the United States, no problem. No problem. Bring it in. Put some more of our people out of work. We're nuts. We've been following this insanity since Reagan became president, and it's destroying our country. And you're saying that reporting on this is somehow creating the second Republican Great Depression?
I'm saying what, frankly, three-fourths of the American public in the recent poll agreed with is that the media are making it worse. That the media, that downbeat reporting, when you tell people a good economy, when you have unemployment below 5%, which most economists consider to be as low as you can go, when you have unemployment below 5%, when you have consistent growth, when you have 52 straight months of positive job growth, as we did under Bush, for all your arguments one way or the other, and he's not my favorite president either, but 52 months of positive job growth, when you have those things and the media are talking recession, then when things get a little worse and then they flip over and start talking depression, then...
Dan, we had three straight years of positive job growth during the Great Depression in the 1930s. It's like, you know, you've been dropped into a hole and now you're slowly crawling your way out of it. Isn't that great? He's climbing up. I mean, from 1933, excuse me, until 1937, you had pretty steady job growth. In fact, by 1937, we were almost back to where we were in 29. And then Roosevelt, taking the advice of Republicans and conservatives, pulled out some of his WPA programs, and boom, the bottom fell out again.
Unemployment is not below 5% is not a Great Depression, metaphor.
Well, it all depends on how you calculate unemployment.
Several years during the Bush presidency. So to be talking recession when that's going on, and then to flip over as soon as, you know, unemployment just now passed where it was during the Clinton administration. Just now.
You realize during the Clinton administration, they changed how you calculate unemployment.
Yeah.
So you're comparing apples and oranges.
No, because I'm talking about it was 7.1 during the Clinton administration. It's 7.2 now. And so to say, oh, suddenly when that happens.
But back then, that 7.1 included people who today are not being counted, Dan. They included people who are called discouraged workers. We've got about 3 or 4 million people out there who are saying, you know, I can't find a job. I've given up and my employment benefits have run out. They're no longer considered unemployed. They were considered unemployed during the first 2 years of the Clinton administration.
But if you go back to the Great Depression numbers, you really want to compare apples to apples. A lot of the Great Depression numbers weren't exactly all-inclusive either. They really only cared about white men, whether they had employment. They cared less about minorities, and they certainly cared less about women. So if you want to compare apples to apples, the...
Well, I'm not saying we're as bad as we were in 1933. I'm saying that we're heading in that direction because of the economic policies that you guys are promoting.
I mean, Tom, for all that you and I might disagree with, you know, I don't think you are saying they were in a Great Depression. But when I watch a nightly news report, as I saw just the other night, talking about, and this is what they do every single time, they had a movie story. Oh, people are going to the movies. People went to a lot of movies during the Great Depression, too. And that's exactly the theme. And they did it all last year. And so they convinced people. And we have this measure. We know they're convincing people because we have a consumer confidence index. It's at a 40-year low.
Maybe it's at a 40-year low because people have maxed out their credit cards. They've taken all the money they can out of their home. They know they can't get a loan anymore. They can't afford gasoline. I mean, maybe that's why.
Or maybe it also has something to do with the fact that we buy advertising. We listen to what advertisers tell us. We also listen to what the news media tells us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, people can read your article, The Great Media Depression, over at businessandmedia.org. Dan Gaynor, the VP of the Business and Media Institute. Dan, always a pleasure mixing it up with you.
It is indeed for myself, too.
Thank you, Dan. 16 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Yee-haw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Provider and licensing details are available.
If this is your paycheck and this is your debt, what are your options? File bankruptcy and tread water the next 7 years? Or make a call for Care One Credit Counseling Services and start getting out of debt today. A Care One Credit Counseling Agency can help you get immediate relief from stress caused by debt, and you'll have one lower monthly payment instead of the pile you have right now. Call a Care One agent today, and you can start saving hundreds of dollars in fees and interest payments. Care One agencies have helped over 4 million people get out of debt, and they can help you too. Call 800-498-2983, 800-498-2983, and find out how you can lower your monthly payments up to 57%. One 15-minute phone call can change your life. Call 800-498-2983, 800-498-2983.
Carl Wolfson and friends.
Let's get to Joe the Plumber. He's covering the war in Israel.
6 to 9.
You're not going to believe what he said.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think journalists should be anywhere allowed war. And if you're going to sit there and say, well, look at this atrocity, well, you don't know the full story behind it half the time.
Yeah, you know, we should just take what the Pentagon says. No atrocities. You know, that's just war.
It's Carl Wolfson.
I think he's one of those people that had his 5 minutes of fame and now thinks he's really smart.
I kind of lean that he's an idiot.
Morning 6 to 9.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk.
Talk Station. Did you know that most credit counselors are working for the credit card companies? It's true. They're practically collection agencies themselves. Don't turn over your financial future to them, because I've got a system that can eliminate your debt once and for all. To prove it, I'll send you a powerful free tape today.
I owed over $30,000 in credit card debt, and today, only a year and a half later, I owe no money to the credit card companies.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it, using just the money you already make. No credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
I'm completely debt-free now, thanks to John Commuta.
Don't hand over your future to credit counselors. Call now, and I'll rush you my free tape today. Call 1-800-600-9841 for your free tape. Call 1-800-600-9841. 1-800-600-9841.
Wouldn't you love to be a lucky parent who's proud of your child's grades? Well, now you can turn poor grades around to A's, even when they're failing.
Hello, I'm Dan Bassmajan. During my 20 years as an educator, the kids with failing grades were sent to me. I discovered that bad grades don't come from bad or lazy kids. They come from kids who are overwhelmed by everything they have to learn. That's why I created The Simple Way to an A. This system shows kids how to learn and how to ace every test. It's so easy, your teenager will earn better grades in 30 days guaranteed and become the happy, confident kid you know they can be.
Call right now for a free copy of the Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades.
For a limited time, Dan is offering all parents a free copy of his Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call now so we can send them to you absolutely free. Call 888-729-8719. That's 888-729-8719. Call 888-729-8719.
How much could you be saving on car insurance? $300, $400, $500? There's a real easy way to find out. Just go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at BeavertonLodge.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Talk radio for the sane among us. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman program. 21 minutes past the hour. And, people sometimes call up and say, oh, Tom, you're so smart about, you know, bloody blah, blah. Well, there's a lot of things I'm actually pretty dumb about. I don't know much about sports, and I don't know much about formal wear. You know, I have my whole life, pretty much all I've ever worn is blue jeans and a white cotton button-down shirt. I mean, that's been it. So I have an email here from Tim. He says, you have a few questions about a tuxedo, because I've been invited to be with a friend of mine who is going to the ball, the one with Barack and Michelle. And so he says, if you have an invitation, look at it and see if it specifies full or formal dress. Formal is a regular black tux, white shirt, cummerbund, and bow tie. Full dress is a top hat with tails and a white tie. It may be addressed as a black tie or white tie affair. Full dress is usually reserved for state affairs when the POTUS, the President of the United States, or other dignitary will be present for a sit-down dinner. So just be sure. Now I've got to find out a whole other level of information. And also, do you think that the media is responsible for the Second Republican Great Depression? 866-303-2270, our number. Steve in Irvine, California, you have some tuxedo advice for me?
Yes, I do, since you've never rented one before.
I never have. I've never worn one in my life.
Okay, well, I rent them all the time. Never buy one, because you're going to get fat, or you're going to lose. And
it has already happened.
and if you spell chocolate sauce on it, it's somebody else's problem, not yours.
Right, okay.
But if you're going to rent one, go with the classic black.
Okay.
No blue or piping around the lapels. Mm-hmm. And when you go in there, pay extra, get the nicer tux.
Okay.
Don't go for the bottom of the line. There'll be an $89 one. Go, This is special.
Go for the $150 one.
Get the prom package.
Right. Okay.
So,
all right.
And with the tie, you get a basic black tie, no bolo tie or anything that's odd colored or anything.
Right.
And practice putting it on well before it's time to get dressed. Because if you're saying, I got 30 minutes to go, it's, you know, put it on backwards 3 times.
Yeah, I know how to tie a regular tie, but I've never tied a bow tie in my life.
Okay, well, these wrap around your neck and they clip.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to learn how to, otherwise it'll look like your shoelace.
Yeah.
I could never tie one. They come with it. And, oh, by the way, you get to keep the socks, too. They'll give you black socks. You get to keep them.
Oh, how nice.
Yes. So you don't have to return them.
Very
cummerbund.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Cummerbund. Generally, they're black, but if you want to make a statement, go with the maroon. It always stands out, and they'll say, well, who's Tom Hartman? The guy with the maroon cummerbund. It looks really nice.
It doesn't have any special significance, you know, like
no,
he's the guy who brought the pot or something like
that. Well, yeah, Tom Hartman, who is he? He's the guy with the don't get a powder blue one or anything like that. The maroon just stands, not a red one, but just look for the maroon if you can.
Right.
Now, finishing up with the shoes, go with laces only.
Yeah.
Don't do the slip-ons. Everybody gets the slip-ons. You go to high school prom, you go to every schnook's wedding, they all have the slip-ons.
Well, I own a good pair of black, you know, kind of FBI regulation shoes, you know, I mean, basic black shoes.
No.
These special shoes?
Yeah, they look like they're made of plastic.
Oh, geez.
They're real high shine. And you know they're patent leather, and you have to, otherwise it doesn't work. You have to have the patent leather shoes, but go with the ties, the laces. You have to do that.
Yeah.
It looks so much better.
And I'm suddenly developing enormous empathy for women who are in this wretched fashion thing constantly. You know, it's do I have to wear a top hat?
No, you don't. If you're going to a party, is that correct?
It's the ball. The inauguration
ball
at the White House.
Yeah, I think the top hats. I think President Kennedy was the last. He was the first one not to wear a top hat, and at his inauguration, they wear them down the street. But no one. I have not seen a top hat or canes. Don't have a cane under your arm.
Should I have a gold chain with a pocket watch?
Pocket watch and put some white spats on too. I come trucking in.
A maroon cummerbund and spats.
That's right. But the thing about renting it is every year, if something comes up, you can always change your look. And once again, if you spill wine on it, then somebody else.
Which there's a high risk for me.
Right.
Louise is saying no, you don't.
Well, with the black tie, be sure to practice, because I remember how many times I've been, you know, I got 20
minutes. Well, if the tie clips on, what are you practicing?
It has to go around the neck, and you have to figure out how it latches. I mean,
isn't it like a snap, you know, like on Western shirts kind of thing?
No, it doesn't work like that. It's a little hook, and you.
Oh, it's like on the back of a brassiere?
Yeah. So you can pipe it with your eyes closed.
Yeah, I was going to say, when I was a teenager, I was pretty – well, let's not go there.
You just close your eyes and wrap your arms around it and snap it. No, it's a little hook, and you have to adjust it, because if your neck is – the last person who had it might have had a 17 neck. You've got a 15 neck, and it just sort of sags there, so you have to figure out how to shorten it. If your wife is going, she can show you how to – it's like shortening a bra.
Yeah, okay,
pull
great.
Through there.
Yeah, she's not. She will not have anything to do with this. But,
you'll fund them.
Yeah,
so,
we'll see.
The boys will be running.
I am dreading this, actually, but, part of me is looking forward to it, but I hate public affairs. I'm so shy, but I realize that sounds crazy on the radio, but it's true. Stephen, thank you very much for the information. I got to take a break. Thank you.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman. Nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's only progressive talk station. Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station. AM 620 KPOJ.
Damage done.
We've got the men and the women and the dying with the children for a presidential ribbon. They don't understand. I think it's time for change. Time to rearrange. The world's got strength. Yeah, I think it's time. It's time for change.
Indeed it is. And that change is coming 7 days from now. Actually, like 6 days and 22 hours. Boy, it's like we're counting the minutes now. Incredible. Dean Baker is with us. He's the co-director of the Center for Economic Policy, Economic and Policy Research, author of the new book, Plunder and Blunder, The Rise and Fall of the Bubble Economy. The website for the center, cepr.net. And Dean, on the 28th, we're going to have you on for a whole hour, and we're going to get into a whole wide variety of economic issues and dig into your book quite a bit. But I wanted to pop you on just for a real quickie here, and because I read your article yesterday, I believe it was, about helping homeowners without throwing money at banks, the right to rent. And I thought, this is brilliant, and I don't fully understand it. Please explain. First of all, welcome to the show.
No, sure. Thanks for having me on. The basic idea is a very simple one. Go through a foreclosure. There's a process where either a judge or a court officer basically says, you know, you here, come up with the money or you're out in the street. So
Right. The
idea of the right to rent is you throw in a clause here in the process for mortgages, recognizing this extraordinary situation. You say that, well, you don't just get to throw someone on the street. You have to ask the person, do you want to rent the place? And if they answer yes, well, the judge or the court officer has a list of appraisers, licensed appraisers. They choose one. They go out and say, okay, what would this place rent for? They look at comparable units, determine what the rent would be, just like appraiser looks at homes sale prices when a bank is considering a mortgage. In this case, they look at rental prices, and they say, okay, this place would rent for $1,200 a month or whatever it might be. Do you want to stay in the home as a renter? And you'd have the right to stay there for some substantial period of time. Could be 5 years, could be 10 years, whatever it might be. So what that means is that if you're a homeowner facing foreclosure, you can't just be thrown down the street. If you like the place, you'll have the option to stay there as a renter. Obviously, you still have to be able to pay the rent, but that will typically be much less than the mortgage. And that gives you security in the home. It means we don't have the homes abandoned, bringing down property values, being, in some cases, havens for crime, whatever it might be. It also means that the bank has a real incentive to try to be serious about renegotiating terms of the mortgage because it's much less.
Because otherwise, they're stuck with a renter.
Exactly. They don't want to be landlords. So that means they might have incentive to say, well, maybe we could work something out. We'll give you 20% off, 30% off. We'll write down some of the principal, whatever it might be. And that way, many people are likely to come to terms with the banks and stay in their house as owners.
Now, I can just hear the banks and the banking industry screaming, saying, wait a minute, you're going to give people a legal right to avoid eviction in a foreclosure process by forcing us to rent to them for up to, say, 10 years, I think was what was mentioned in your article. We can't stay in business doing that. The rental, the return on rental investment, particularly those banks that have already sold that note, with a guarantee of some sort of a return on it, this is going to take a chunk out of their side, isn't it? Or am I missing something in the math here?
No, it will probably be somewhat of a hit to them. Probably not that big a hit because when they're going ahead with the foreclosure, they're losing money also, in some cases lots of money. The classic mm-hmm. case we're looking at today, because we did have a bubble that collapsed, is that we have someone that maybe they bought the home for $300,000 and make is they'll have a $300,000 mortgage on it. Today it's worth maybe $200,000. Well, they could foreclose on the person. They're not going to get their $300,000 back. They'll have to sell the home for $200,000, and then they're going to have all these fees associated. They have to pay a realtor. They have all these various court costs right. associated with the foreclosure itself. So they're going to take a big hit in any case. Now, do they end up somewhat worse off if they're stuck with the renter? Probably they do because they always have the option to say, hey, why don't you stay there as a renter? They could always do that. So presumably they're not doing that because they think that's a worse option for them. But odds are it doesn't hurt them that much. And the other thing, it actually could benefit them collectively because it could help sustain property values in a community. So
Right. You
do have areas where there are just huge amounts of foreclosures. And if you could reduce the number of foreclosures, any bank that has one of their properties now as a rental rather than having gone through the foreclosure, they might be worse off on that particular property.
But now, what happens when this starts to work the way rent control in New York City does, where somebody somebody goes into foreclosure, they say their payment, you know, had been, you know, $2,000 a month, and all of a sudden it went up to $3,000 a month because their arm adjusted, and so they go into foreclosure, and the rental appraiser comes in and says, well, this property would appropriately rent for $1,600 a month. And so now the bank is forced to rent to them at $1,600 a month, which is at the market. It's not unreasonable. But the bank really doesn't want to be renting, but they're forced to by law because we've changed the rules of the game of what is a foreclosure. And the people renting decide that they're going to sublet to somebody. They're going to rent to somebody else for $1,650 a month or $2,000 a month. How do you avoid that kind of a situation?
Well, if the appraisal is done right, it really shouldn't be an issue because it's a market rent. So it's pretty hard to envision that they're able to get someone to pay more than the market rent for their house. So,
And what happens if the market changes over time? Does the bank get to adjust that?
Yeah, it's very simple. I mean, we have price indices. The Bureau of Labor Statistics every month comes out with new price indices that give us rents in most major markets.
Right.
And the rent would be tied to that, not on a monthly basis, on an annual basis. So if it tells us that the rents in this particular area had gone up 3% from January to January, then the rent on any of these houses would go up 3% also.
I think it's a brilliant idea. And basically, what it requires is that Congress redefine what a foreclosure is. Do I have that right?
Exactly. And they could do that temporarily. So the idea is that this was an unusual set of events. We don't typically, thankfully, have bubbles like this. And you could also limit the beneficiaries. So we could say it will only apply to homes that sold for less than the median value, or if you want to be a little more generous, 1.2 times. I mean, presumably if someone got a million-dollar home, they could look out for themselves. If they're in over their heads, well, that's the way it goes. But, you know, we're looking for protecting the typical person that got into a bad situation. It's not a tax handout. It's not a windfall. They're not going to be celebrating that they got this big break, but it means they could stay in their house.
What about a rent with option to purchase? What about a certain, setting it up so that, 5, 10, 20% of the monthly rental fee is applied toward principal if they decide at some point to roll it over into a purchase or something like that?
Well, there's an investment analyst, Dan Alpert, at investment company in New York, Westwood Capital, that actually proposed something like that. I think it's reasonable to talk about things like that. My only concern is it just makes it more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So, to my mind,
the bank could always work that out on the back end. I mean, they could work that out on the side. There doesn't require
absolutely
a legislative mandate.
And it really should be to their advantage, because if they have someone who's there as a renter and they might stay, depending what the law is, maybe they could stay there 10 years, 15 years, and if instead that person is interested in becoming a homeowner again, you would think it would be to the bank's advantage. They aren't giving give it away, but work out an arrangement where the person could become a homeowner again, and they'll get this rental property off their backs.
Dean Baker with the Center for Economic and Policy Research, his new book, Plunder and Blunder, The Rise and Fall of the Bubble Economy. Dean, last question. Do you have any members of Congress who have shown any interest in this?
Yes, actually, Raul Grijalva, who's from Tucson, a very good member of Congress, he's actually proposed a bill, I think it's called Saving Family Homes Act. He proposed it last summer that specified they'd be able to stay in their house for 20 years. So it's actually a very generous proposal. So I don't know how many co-sponsors he's been able to get for it, but he has introduced that bill.
Interesting. I'll kick this around with Bernie Sanders on Friday when I talk with him, too, I think it's a great idea. Let's see if we can get some momentum for it. Would you recommend that our listeners call their members of Congress? And if so, what should they say?
Well, they should ask them to look at Raul Grijalva's bill. They could look at the piece that I wrote on the Huffington Post, and we have a piece also on our website. We called it the Subprime Borrowers Protection Act, so if people want more background, and suggest that this is a way in which you could help homeowners that doesn't help the banks, doesn't cost the taxpayers any money, doesn't require any new bureaucracy. It takes effect immediately. You pass the law tomorrow, and the next day everyone benefits.
Yep. Brilliant. Dean Baker, CEPR.net, and, of course, his new book, Plunder and Blunder, The Rise and Fall of the Bubble Economy, which we will be exploring at some considerable length a few weeks from now. Dean, thanks so much for dropping by on short notice with us.
Sure. Thanks a lot for having me on.
And thanks for the brilliant work you're doing out there. It's much appreciated. Good talking with you. 866-303-2270, our telephone number, Rob in Scotland, Pennsylvania. Hey, Rob, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. First, I want to say that sounded like a great proposal, and I'm glad that you're supporting it as well. I think if the banks eat a little bit of money, well, it was there, and them and the financial institutions were the cause of our economic problems.
Yeah, and it's not like we haven't handed them $350 billion to help their indigestion problem.
But I actually wanted to talk about a different relationship with the economy, and that is right now our economy is driven primarily by buying and spending, consumer buying and spending. And if we want to have a society, that economy that is strong, we're going to have to look at how we can create a sustainable future in this country. I think that Obama is on the right tracks in terms of green jobs and investing in our infrastructure. But if he puts money into infrastructure, it needs to go into the most sustainable technologies that are available and out there.
Agreed.
Not in just repairing what already we have that's, you know, causing more problems with our environment. And
you're right. We need to move into the 21st century rather than simply reinforcing 20th and 19th century infrastructure.
Right. And green jobs, likewise, you know, it's great to invest in renewable. And you said like 80% of our people support all the things you're saying. It's true, you know.
Yeah.
So Barack Obama should be talking not only about renewable energy, but all of the other technologies and all of the other ways that people are greening their lives and greening their businesses.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Rob, well said, and thank you for the call. And there are so many options. There are so many great directions that we can go. 45 minutes past the hour.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Ed Schultz.
We are the country of pink slips, no doubt. 467,000 more unemployed last week.
Noon to 3.
4.6 million drawing jobless claim benefits right now in America. It's like the Obama team is going to take over in 11 days, shouldering all these problems.
The Ed Schultz Show.
And the Republicans are trying to do a hell of a job of making all of us think that it's our fault.
Noon to 3.
They haven't changed a bit.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Online at 620KPOJ.com.
If you're ever in Columbus, Georgia, be sure to see the Lunchbox Museum there. Collectors love this place like Elvis fans love Graceland. Now, if you're more into Pez dispensers, stop by the Museum of Pez Memorabilia in Burlingame, California. Or heck, stay close to home and see America's largest antiques and collectibles show this weekend, where you can not only look at all kinds of collectibles, you can buy them. Collectors may love different kinds of things, but they all love the thrill of the hunt, especially at America's largest antiques and collectibles show in the exhibit hall at the Clark County Fairgrounds. 500 booths filled with everything from fine antiques like estate jewelry, glass, sterling, furniture, to cool collectibles, sports and pop culture stuff, art deco, all kinds of unique things to decorate your home or workspace. If it's old and collectible, it's here. Need an appraisal? Talk to the experts for just $5 an item. America's largest antiques and collectibles show this weekend in the exhibit hall at the Clark County Fairgrounds.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. True confession. I'm hungry. I can't stop thinking about the healthy fish and chips, classic or spicy Baja fish taco platters, crisp salads, and Dana's homemade soups at the Hawthorne Fish House and the Corbett Fish House. Salmon, halibut, catfish, or cod, it's all delicious. If you want a taste of the Midwest, try the perch, walleye, or even the fried cheese curds. They make a mean, spicy black bean garden burger as well. Hawthorne Fish House Southeast and Corbett Fish House Southwest.
Wow. My dad is turning 65 this year, and he's really confused about Medicare.
How do I help him find the right health plan?
If you need help finding affordable health care coverage for parents, yourself, or your kids, call the Sheba Helpline. We make choosing health care coverage easier. Call us for fast, free service. 1-800-562-6900. Sheba, a free service of Washington's Office of the Insurance Commissioner. 1-800-562-6900.
Hello, I'm John Hodgman, author of The Areas of My Expertise. Today I'm here to tell you about the unknown history of Powell's Books. The store was born during the written word revolution of 1895, fought beneath what is now the Willamette River. The bloody grammatical fuss claimed more than 250,000 lives, many of them fish. Then came the 1927 book massacre, when thousands of pulp novels suffered irrevocable dog ears and egregious coffee stains. But I see I'm out of time. Support Powell's, an independent bookseller with a long, colorful history. And buy my book, The Areas of My Expertise. That is all.
Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
It's been a little chilly out there. In fact, you're out there shoveling global warming. Well, it's shoveling global warming off the dock. It's been a week now since it all melted, so it's actually getting a little warmer. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Real Talk Radio. And Sarah in Marysville, Washington. Hey, Sarah. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Tom. How are you doing today?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Sarah?
I'm all right.
Good.
What I called about is I was talking to your screener. I work for – am I allowed to say who I work for, or do I have to be
sure.
all cryptic about
no,
it?
No, it's fine.
I work for Walmart,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not exactly thrilled about it, but I'm very grateful to have a job, period. Mm-hmm. Sure. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about their pay practices – as it regards the local economy,
mm-hmm.
Most of the hourly associates that I work with, meaning the people who aren't salaried, obviously, most of us make so little, even if we've been there for years. We're not talking about people who've been there for less than 6 months and don't get benefits or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us make so little we can't afford the benefits that we could get mm-hmm. through work.
Right,
like
the health insurance that they advertise on TV saying, isn't it wonderful we give our workers health insurance? They actually sell their workers health insurance, don't they?
So expensive. I pay a lot of money
mm-hmm.
to insure myself and my child.
Mm-hmm.
And I pay more to have the insurance plus my deductible than I actually use every year.
Yeah. You would think that Walmart...
Most of us...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Most of the people who work there don't bother to buy it, so they're uninsured, or their children are on the state. And then they're, you know, for state medical, most of us qualify for food stamps or make just barely enough over the state limit so that we don't qualify for food stamps, which means a lot of us supplement our own grocery budget by going to food banks. Or, you know, I have to do that. I had to swallow my pride this Christmas and go to the community toy drive so that I could do Christmas for my kids.
Yeah, and yet you have a job.
I have a job. I am a full-time associate. I've worked for the company for over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I just barely make over $11 an hour.
Yeah.
We are only allowed one potential raise a year. They raise their hiring wages, you know, what they'll hire people for specific tasks that they're going to be hired for. But they don't then go, you know, that's supposed to be with cost of living, but then they don't raise the wage of the people who already work for them doing that job.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
And it is so wrong. Sarah.
So a lot of the people who are training the new people are making less than the people that they are training.
Oh, my.
And then there's also the aspect of most of us who are working there, who are the working poor, are living the only way. way that we can live, either renting our apartment or paying our mortgage, is to be on state assistance for as little as just medical coverage for our kids up to, you know, the TANF, whatever you call it in your state, you know, the aid to needy families and food stamps and all that stuff.
Right.
I mean, the cost of that, the save money, live better, makes me want to throw up every time.
Yeah, and what this means, and what this means is that the taxpayers of the United States are subsidizing Walmart, basically.
Exactly.
They're providing Walmart with a cheap labor pool by providing these subsidies. And yet, on the other hand, if we were to say, okay, we're going to do away with all these social safety net programs, which is what the conservatives want, then you would really be in desperate straits, not to say that you're not already.
Absolutely.
Sarah, thank you so much. I wanted to thank you for sharing that with us. Have you made your point?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to let you go. I want to riff on this for just a second if I can. Teddy Roosevelt, the Republican president of the United States, Teddy Roosevelt talking about a living wage.
We stand for a living wage.
We stand for a
this
living wage.
This is abnormal if they fail to provide a living for those who devote their time and energy to industrial occupation. The monetary equivalent of a living wage varies according to local conditions.
The monetary equivalent of a local wage varies according to local conditions, but, and here is what, and this was in 1907, the President of the United States saying this should be our standard for what a person gets if they work 40 hours a week.
But must include enough to secure the elements of a normal standard of living.
A normal standard of living. Okay, Teddy, what is that?
A standard high enough to make morality possible.
Enough to make morality so you don't have to steal for food?
To provide for education and recreation.
For education and recreation, you can put your kids through school, you can take a vacation.
Care for immature members of the family.
Raise your children, care for immature members of the family.
To maintain the family during periods of sickness.
Take care of the family during periods of sickness, pay for your health care. This is the stuff that Teddy Roosevelt said for his living wage. He's the guy who created the phrase living wage. These are the things, and he says he
recommends. And to permit a reasonable saving for old age.
And to set aside enough money for your retirement. That is a living wage. $11 an hour in the United States is not a living wage. It is absolutely crazy that Sarah has to work for you know, this so little money that she has to go out and ask for food stamps or show up at the food bank when she's willing to work. We have had historically, until Ronald Reagan came along, from the time Teddy Roosevelt, you know, Teddy Roosevelt laid this stuff out, and it was radical stuff back in that day, because that was the tail end of the robber baron era. And after the Great Depression, we started taking it seriously. During the Republican Great Depression, the first Republican Great Depression in the 1930s, we started taking this seriously and saying, you know, we should have an economy where if somebody is willing to work a 30 or 40-hour week, or 40 or 50-hour week, actually, was the debate back then. If somebody's willing to work a 40-hour week, that they can, as Teddy Roosevelt just said, as you just heard the Republican president of the United States in 1907 say in a recording made, by the way, by Thomas Edison himself, if somebody's going to work a 40-hour week, they should be able to put their kids through school, they should be able to have and keep their home, they should be able to take a vacation, they should be able to cover 100% of their medical expenses and without any problems, and they should be able to set aside enough that they can retire with grace and dignity. That is the American dream. The American dream is not hitting the lottery. The American dream is not getting rich. The American dream is having that living wage. And I'm telling you, 28 years of Republicans have stolen it from us.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620kpoj.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. 6 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Larry Beinhart's on the line with us. He's been writing these and researching and coming up with this just brilliant stuff Larry's the author of Wag the Dog, The Librarian, Fog Facts, Searching for Truth in the Land of Spin, all available at nationbooks.org, and, of course, bookstores and fine locations all across the planet. His new novel is Salvation Boulevard. His website, Larry Beinhart, BEINHART.com. Larry, welcome to the show.
Tom, what a great introduction. Thank you.
Well, I am just blown away by, first of all, the fact that you're about the only guy out here who's doing this homework, which is, I don't mean this as a put-down. It's not rocket science to figure this stuff out, but you figured it out, and it is, I mean, it was conventional wisdom in the 1950s. It was conventional wisdom in the 1960s. It was conventional wisdom in the early 1970s. And over the last 40 years, we have all forgotten. The headline of your article, Why You Should Be Screaming for Higher Taxes. Give us the elevator speech, Larry Beinhart.
Okay. And when we're talking about screaming for higher taxes, we're screaming for higher taxes on other people.
Yeah, on the rich, basically, you know, and on corporations.
Basically at the top end. There's a direct correlation between high tax rates and economic growth. When we've had our highest tax rates, or when we have higher tax rates, we have a lot of economic growth. And the period of our greatest growth, of course, is World War II and the post-World War II years, when the top marginal tax rate varied between 88 and 92%, which is almost impossible to conceive of nowadays.
Right.
Okay? People were being taxed at 92% of their income above a certain point.
Yeah, what would be the equivalent of about $3.2 million in today's money.
And
the consequence of that was that, number one, I can't think of any. I can't remember any dynastic families that emerged during that time period. There were no multi-billionaires who suddenly, no John Rockefellers, no Andrew Carnegies, no Bill Gateses, no Phil Knights, no dynastic billionaires who emerged, because 92% tax after $3.2 million, people became content with $3.2 million. Number one. Number two, you had plenty of money to pay the middle class good living wages to do the work that was actually creating that wealth. And number three, we did not have bubbles, we did not have crashes, and we had an economy that like the little engine that could, just nice and steady and strong, just moved right along for almost 40 years until Ronald Reagan came along with his wrecking ball.
Right. Yeah, that's a very good summary. Actually, there's also a direct correlation between large tax cuts and a sequence of boom, bubble, and crash. We've had basically three times we've had large tax cuts, once in the early 1920s. Coming out of World War One, we had a tax rate of around 70%, and then they took it down to in the 20s.
Right.
And that launched the boom of the 20s and the crash of 29. Then we have the Reagan tax cuts, which brings us to the crash of 87. And the crashes are fairly similar in that they include lots of bank failures. The difference in the 87 one is that we had a bailout. We had a huge bailout. And then, of course, we have this crash with the Bush tax cuts.
Right.
And it's the exact same sequence. And I don't understand why nobody else is making the correlation. I
mean, would it be reasonable to guess or to assume or even to assert, Larry Beinhart, that the reason why, when you have tax cuts on the very rich, you have bubble, boom, bust economies, is that there is a certain reasonable limit at which people can, it's like trying to drink out of a fire hose. I mean, there's a limit at how fast you can drink, how much water you can put into your body, that there's a limit to how much cash somebody can take and appropriately set aside for investment. And so what happens is, when you have these huge tax cuts so that the rich get very, very rich very, very fast, they're looking for a fast rate of return, and they start stashing that money in everything from commodities to stocks and bonds, and all of that inflates the market for those things, which creates the bubble.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair description of it. It's excess liquidity. And also, when you part of what happens when you have a low tax rate, there's an incentive to try to turn money around as fast as possible.
How is that associated with a low tax rate?
Well, if you're being taxed on profits, right, which essentially a high tax rate is,
right,
you're taxed on how much money you're earning. Right. I mean, you're taking out.
Right.
Okay. So if that tax rate is low, then the quicker you can make your profit and then reinvest it and make another quick profit again, the more money you make.
Right. So a low tax rate encourages churn.
If at the moment that you take it out, suddenly somewhere between, 50 and 90% of it disappears
to taxes.
You go, wait a minute. Let me think twice before I take this money out.
Right.
Okay, let's see if by keeping the money in here, we can build a bigger company.
Right.
Or
right.
So that on paper and in terms of your overall wealth, you aren't, in fact, growing wealthier, but you don't have the cash.
Yeah.
So there's a disincentive to take it out. Then what happens is if there's an incentive to take it out and to turn it over quickly, you're looking for quick turnaround things. And then you go into places where you're gambling.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be common wisdom the stock market was Las Vegas, built large. And then we began to convince ourselves that wasn't the case, that putting your money in the stock market was, according to George Bush, more secure than Social Security.
Right.
And it's not true. You're gambling. And suddenly when a lot of money comes to the table,
stakes go up.
And you're not investing in a bigger piece of property. You're not investing in more production, in more productive capacity, in new industries. You're investing in people investing.
Right. When the value of GM stock goes up, that doesn't mean the GM gets any more money. It means that the last guy who owned the stock got more money, or you get more money, or whatever. Larry, you've done this brilliantly with looking over the last 100 years at personal income, or back to 1913, at personal income tax rates. Warren Buffett, in his annual report for Berkshire Hathaway, 2 years ago, I believe it was, maybe 3 years ago, noted, and I'm quoting now from the Berkshire Hathaway annual report, quote, corporate taxes are at their lowest level since 1934, 7.4% of all federal tax receipts, down from 32% in 1952. In other words, currently 7% of revenue going to the federal government is from corporate taxes. In 1952, it was a third. It was 32%. Have you done the research to determine whether there's an identical correlation for corporate tax rates?
No, I haven't, and I haven't done it for capital gains, all of which I think, go into the mix.
Yeah, and I'm guessing they're all going to work out the same way.
Right. I mean, I'm not an economist. I was just listening to all of our politicians saying tax cuts, tax cuts, tax. In fact, I heard it again today. Tom Herbert's column in the New York Times started out with, you don't want to have tax cuts that are going to slow down. You don't want to have business tax hikes that are going to slow down the recovery.
Right, which is so wrong.
Which is exactly. I mean, and this is a big forum, and Tom Herbert's generally a really good liberal guy.
Yeah, Bob Herbert. Yeah.
Right. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, this meme, this thought virus, which, as I said, was relatively unknown before the 1980s, as a consequence of these giant think tanks, the Heritage Foundation, the American Enterprise Institute, the Cato Institute, and all these libertarians and Republicans, and four decades now of the very rich basically buying public opinion, have come to be believed to be conventional, to be true, that if you cut taxes, you stimulate the economy. And in fact, it's the opposite.
Right. Yeah. The historical record is exactly the opposite. You can date the point of recovery in all of our economic recoveries at the point where there was a tax rise.
So if you want to stimulate the economy, if you want the economy to come back, scream for higher taxes. both personal and corporate. There you go. Larry Beinhart, his new book, Salvation Boulevard, brilliant writer, a brilliant thinker. LarryBeinhart.com is website. Larry, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks a lot.
Keep up the great work. Keep spreading the word. I will, too. 16 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Remembering Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
The war in Vietnam, it is estimated that we spend $500,000 to kill each enemy soldier. Watching Negro and white boys on TV screens as they kill and die together for a nation that has been unable to seat them together in the same schoolroom.
Dr. King's dreams coming alive today.
Join us in celebrating on Air America and AirAmerica.com.
Hey, Tom Hartman here, and I want to talk to you about gold. With current rising deficits and economic uncertainty, now is a great time to buy gold. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You should call ITM too. They'll answer all your questions and send you a free information packet to get you started. So call ITM Trading at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Call ITM now at 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
She's loud, she's proud, and she definitely draws a crowd.
We cannot let the American porn industry go down.
Randy Rhodes.
So why is the porn industry asking for a bailout? I know that I've given the porn industry at least $5 billion myself. So there's no need for the bailout, Larry.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
If you cannot make money by producing pornography in this country,
3 to 6,
you are pretty much freaking hopeless.
On AM 620 KPOJ
and 620KPOJ.com.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
Most of us don't like medical exams. So if you're a healthy person who's put off getting term life insurance, now hear this. Because you can get up to $500,000 in term life insurance with no doctor visit and no medical exam within minutes just by answering a few health questions over the phone. For a free quote, call eFinancial at 1-800-619-9011. Many people put off getting life insurance because they don't like medical exams. But it's possible to answer a few simple health questions and receive term life from top-rated carriers in minutes and for less than you'd imagine. Everyone's situation is different, but you could qualify for $500,000 of term life with no medical exam, and it's affordable. You could even be covered today. If you're living without term life, do what's right for your family in minutes, right over the phone. Call now for your free quote. Call 1-800-619-9011. 1-800-619-9011.
If you're eligible for Medicare or turning 65, there's a good chance you're concerned about the cost and quality of health care. Listen to what Sterling Medicare enrollees have to say about their Sterling health plans.
Sterling provides service and peace of mind. And they do it in an economical way.
I know Sterling's right there. If I have to go to the hospital, Sterling's there to take care of the bills.
You know, we're seniors, and fixed income is very important. And you have to do the best you can with that income. So we can do better with Sterling than we could with the other companies.
You know when you'll find out if your health insurance is any good? When you file a claim. When that time comes, what will you have to say about your insurance company? For more information on Medicare plans, including prescription drug coverage offered by Sterling, call 1-800-489-8506 today. Underwritten by the Sterling Life Insurance Company. Real people, wise choices.
How much could you be saving on car insurance? $300, $400, $500? There's a real easy way to find out. Just go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at BeavertonLodge.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Yeah.
and broadcasting, 22 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you, and a little strange. Dick Cheney's stepping into the Twilight Zone, and David Letterman, God bless him, calling him out on it. Here's David Letterman with the Dick Cheney lie detector.
Dick Cheney lie count. Take a look.
I think we've done some very good things over the course of the last 8 years. There was no manipulation of the data. We did everything by the book. We were very careful. I think we are close to achieving most of our objectives. Guantanamo's there to hold people we believe are unlawful combatants. They're well treated. I don't believe we violated anybody's civil liberty. I think what we did was one of the great success stories of the intelligence business in the last century.
And good on you, David Letterman. That's just great. The Dick Cheney lie count, and that, Sean says, that was 8 lies? Wow, that's pretty impressive. We only had the audio, not the video. You can watch the video, of course, on the David Letterman Show. 866-303-2270, our telephone number, Eileen in Socrates, New York. Hey, Eileen, what's up?
Hey, hope you hear me okay.
I hear you just fine.
I wanted to talk about the Red King issue.
Yes.
The previous guest. Mm-hmm. We're in a situation where we had moved to New York a couple of years ago, never did sell our house in Wisconsin, and we're renting it now. So we don't have to pay double mortgages, but I did a lot of research, and people pay less in mortgage than they do rent. So I don't see how his proposal would work. And I still think that if the mortgages were renegotiated, the houses were reassessed and renegotiated, that's a better way to handle this situation.
Well, this would encourage that, actually. I mean, I think one of his point, Dean Baker's points, was that if the banks knew that they were going to be stuck with a renter, if they didn't renegotiate, they would renegotiate in a hurry. And right now, they know that they can just throw people out on their butts and you know, recover whatever they can, number one. And secondly, with regard to rents, part of that has to do with the fact that mortgage interest is tax deductible. And this is just a fat, wet kiss on the cheeks of the banks that was given back in the 1950s as a, you know, theoretically as a way of getting more people into homes. But, you know, really it's a subsidy to the banks. And so people who rent don't get any kind of tax deduction, and people who buy do. And I think, frankly, that we should do away with the home mortgage tax deduction. It, of course, it would have to be phased out over time because a lot of people have made all their financial plans based on it. And so instead of borrowing a whole bunch of money and buying a house over a 10 or 20-year period, instead people would save over a 10 or 20-year period as they're renting and then buy a house with the money. And they would be able to generate a profit by having interest income on the money that they're saving while they're saving to buy the house. This is how it was before the 1950s. And rather than the banks generating the profit on us, because right now you buy a $150,000 house with a 20 or 30 year mortgage, you're going to pay $300,000 by the time you're all done paying the interest. All that interest goes to the bank. On the other hand, if you had saved $150,000, you might only have to save $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 to end up with that $150,000 at the end of 15 or 20 years because you're getting the interest. And the reason why we do it the other way around is because we've got this subsidy for banks called the home mortgage interest deduction. And, you know, I think it's frankly a bad idea. But and you know, renting should be as noble as buying, and arguably even more so if it's the appropriate thing for a person's financial circumstances. But, Eileen, your point is well taken. Thank you very much for calling and making it. I appreciate it. Let's see here. Dave in Los Angeles. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Hi, Tom. There's one thing you do that drives me absolutely crazy. I'll tell you what it is. You go into these gunfights with a knife on the unemployment numbers when you talk to these folks. There is a site out there. John Williams, a noted economist, maintains a site called shadowstats.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a series of data on there called the alternate data. You have to click that page. Right now I'm looking at it. The actual unemployment numbers, and this is, you know, taking out the Clinton adjustment,
right,
are 17.5%.
Right. I know. And in fact, about 5 or 6 months ago, the guy who wrote the coming Republican tidal wave or whatever it was, laid that all out. And we had him on the show and went through that. And you're right. Shadowstats.com.
You That's correct. And he also puts up M3, which they stopped publishing, but he uses the same data.
Right. They're calculating an M3. Yeah. And that was my point. I mean, you know, I think that everybody gets it. And thank you, Dave, for that. I think everybody gets it that these so-called unemployment numbers and these so-called economic growth numbers and all this other stuff, that it's nonsense. That the economy is in the tank in a far worse way than the conservatives want to admit. And the reason why they don't want to admit it is because they don't want it known that their economic policies inevitably and invariably lead to depressions, lead to disasters. And so, anyway, there it is, 27 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Minutes past the hour. Welcome back to Tom Hartman Program, brought to you in part by you, our listeners, supporting our show, your radio station, and our advertisers. Let them know that you're listening.
Better take off your coat. Real slow.
Even when it's 17 degrees outside?
Better take off your shoes. Take your shoes.
Even when there's snow on the ground?
Baby, take off your dress. Yes, yes, yes. You can't leave your hat on.
Yeah, well, this guy, instead of a hat, he had a ski mask on. Just in Bloomington, Illinois. 6:30 in the morning, 17 degrees out, in the 1100 block of Bell Street, he approached a woman unlocking a warehouse, naked but for a ski mask. He handled himself inappropriately and then fled. The report said no additional description was available. How about blue man seen running? He'd be freezing. Pathos in the chat room says, back to the subject of the economy. By the way, Kevin Phillips was the guy whose name I was losing there for a moment. Kevin Phillips, who brilliantly has written on the economy over his last two books and a number of articles, and was on this program a few months ago talking about how the unemployment numbers are, and the money supply numbers, for that matter, are all just fiction. And tip of the hat to Sue Nethercutt for that. Pathos is writing, he said in the chat room, we just laid off 20 people in the last 2 days at Wallside Windows in Taylor, Michigan. It's been a rough week. And he says, I've been hugging crying women and crying men in between window frames. I don't like to work that way. We had 3 suicides last year. We're still doing better than most. I mean, this is the economy that you get when you do Reaganomics, Bushonomics. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Weldon in Minneapolis. Weldon, you have some tuxedo advice for me?
Tom, you mean to tell me that Louise has never seen you in a tuxedo?
Never, never. When we got married, I wore a suit, but that's it.
And you've been married how long?
36 years.
Wow, even a broken clock is right twice, I guess.
Yeah, well.
I want to give you some advice, okay? Is she listening right now?
She is. She's sitting right here in the studio with Sean and me.
Tell her to take off her headphones on and give you some advice.
Okay.
What I want you to do is forget the snap-on bow tie. Go
right. Tie
your bow tie, okay? But that's all. They're gonna give you all that stuff at the store. Mm-hmm. What I need you to do is to phone a dance studio today in Portland. Mm-hmm. And tell them that you need a crash course in the waltz.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you do is you take Louise on the dance floor when you're there, and you dance with her.
Okay. Well, here's the only problem is Louise is not going.
Pardon me?
Louise is not going. She is just like,
oh,
not.
She doesn't have to be dumb. That's the whole point, is that you're making the effort. It doesn't matter whether.
No, I mean, she's not going with me to Washington, D.C. She has no desire to go to this thing and all these people and all this craziness and everything else. She's staying home.
You mean she's not going to dance with you if you ask her?
Come on, Tom. I'm sorry, but I think you're right. I do need to learn how to dance well.
If there was one thing that she's going to say about you, she's going to say, man, I wish once in his life he would just take me dancing.
Yeah, well, we used to dance.
Here's your opportunity.
We used to dance a lot when we were younger, but it's been a lot of years. You're right. We should get back into it. Weldon, thank you very much. I appreciate your kind words and wise advice, and you've got a great big smile on Louise's face here. Lawrence in Berkeley, California. Hey, Lawrence, what's up?
Hey, good morning. You know, your guest was fantastic and totally right on. And it is so important that we raise taxes to the pre-Reagan level, because if we don't, the Obama program is not going to work.
You're right. And that's for 6 years I've been saying roll back. Well, actually, since Reagan's tax cuts,
yes.
I've been saying roll back the Reagan tax cuts. That's when the whole thing began to come unraveled. That's when Alan Greenspan had to come in. And Ravi Batrak documents this in his book, Greenspan's Fraud. Greenspan had to come in and show him how to basically steal money from working people by raising, doubling Social Security taxes and then stealing that money for the general budget. You know, it's you're right. It's nuts.
But it is so important that it can't be left to chance. We really need a national association for a restoral of the graduated income tax.
Yeah.
You know, it needs to have all the labor unions, all the progressive organizations really focused on that one point.
Yep, absolutely. We need to get the word out. I try to talk about it on this program at least every day. And you know, every time I get a conservative on, which is a great opportunity to bring the topic up, I try to shove it down their throats, and they're all, what? You know, I can't believe it. You know, and they're sputtering and they're freaking out. But I mean, you know, none of them have refuted it yet. And Larry's absolutely right. He did his research. He did it well. Lawrence, thank you very much. Well said. And we do. And this is the job that we all have now. The Obama administration and the Democrats in Congress are only going to move in a, you know, truly progressive direction. And they're only going to put this economy back together if we make them. If we inform them. And Larry Beinhart has done some yeoman's work on this. You can read his stuff over at Huffington Post or CommonDreams.org, HuffingtonPost.com, and Alternate.org. They've all published his work, and it's his most recent piece I don't think it's on the front page of Huffington Post today, but it's on the front page of CommonDreamsToday.org. You can check it out. Dale in Troy, New York. Hey, Dale, what's up?
Yes, hi, Tom. Good morning. How you doing?
Just
fine. We spoke some time before. My question, as I was listening to you and Mr. Beinhart, when you were discussing the correlation with raising taxes, corporate and personal, how you have the correlation whereby the economy does better,
right,
as opposed to decreasing taxes and everything not doing so well. What I just wanted to know is, where can I access that same material to actually see that as well?
Larry Beinhart is the guy who has laid it out. And if you go to LarryBeinhart.com, I'm guessing on his website he's got it. I should have done before I took your call, just to double check it, but I'm pretty sure it is. But I can tell you, if you go to CommonDreams.org right now, you can. Oh, Sean says it's on his website. She just looked. LarryBeinhart.com. BEINHART.com. Larry, LARRY, Beinhart.com. And it's all right there, Dale. And it's not, as I said, this is not rocket science. This is straightforward stuff. Well, taxes are A, the great stabilizer. B, that's how you fund government. You know, it's amazing that for 40 years, Republicans have been accusing Democrats of being tax and spend, when in fact, they're not tax and spend. And the Republicans are not tax and spend. They're all borrow and spend. And it's running the country into the ditch. It's just, it's so wrong. Anthony in Seattle. Hey, Anthony.
Yes, Tom. Your previous guest that was talking about renting for these homeowners that have run into mortgage crises and all that, I'm the president of my condominium association, and there's a lot of issues with the fact that really bad advice that he was giving. When it comes to condominium associations and homeowners associations, most of them have built into the CC&Rs rental cap amendments to the CC&Rs. So by the bylaws specifically state that there can only be only so many, if not none, rentals. And
right.
So also FHA loans, people who want to buy a home in that condo association cannot get an FHA loan because per FHA loan guidelines, they must have a certain rental cap established already. So there's rules in place that prevent that from happening. So for him to say, oh, you need to just work it out with your mortgage lender, you know, the bank, to see if you can rent, that's just not practical.
But as a homeowner in a condo, and I'm sort of in a similar situation in that the Louise and I own a floating home, and we actually own the house, but the slip, the docks and all that, there's 34 houses, and it's a homeowners association, it's a nonprofit, and we collectively own those things. And so, you know, it's sort of a condo, I suppose, you know, the water is. And wouldn't you rather, as, you know, as a member of an association like that, wouldn't you rather have somebody in a unit, even if they're paying rent, than have it be empty and falling into disrepair? Or
Absolutely not. And here's the reason why. We have, in our small condo complex, we have two units that have gone into foreclosure.
Right.
The first one, we have actually two separate, I mean, I can see it right now. The first one, the bank essentially evicted the homeowner and has taken over the condo, and then they went ahead and they dropped the price from $179,000 down to $125,000. Now, why couldn't the bank work it out with the homeowner before doing all that? Now we have no dues income coming in from that unit. It's still sitting vacant. The bank is responsible for paying the dues, and they haven't paid us a dime.
Right.
Now, if you're talking about renting and all that kind of thing, it again, you get into that CC&R thing that's...
But it would be the former residents who still have a mortgage, and they're now renting against that mortgage. It wouldn't work for you, Anthony. I'm sorry that we've got to take a break, but, you know, I get it that it's more complex than what Dean was suggesting, that there's not a one-size-fits-all solution. But it seems that we need some creative thinking here. And I also have some problems with simply just throwing money at banks and saying, here, have some cash. We'll be right back.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's only progressive talk station.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
This is a change in the definition of what America is.
Rachel Maddow.
We've long had a very, 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 very diverse country. We just have been very resistant to the idea that our government ought to look as diverse as our country.
That has now changed.
But it is also a big day for the Democratic Party. And it is a very big day for the Republican Party.
Rachel Maddow.
Which now has no obvious leader, no clear direction.
Evening, 6 to 8.
No clear guiding ideology, either economically or in terms of foreign policy.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
Triple scores and reports free as a trial member of Privacy Matters 123.
Do you know your credit score? Chances are you answered no, and you're not alone. Most people don't. But did you know that not knowing your score could be costing you thousands of dollars? See, your credit score affects everything, from credit card and mortgage interest rates to your insurance. But if you knew your score, you could save money on interest rates and more. And only one service provides the complete score, and it's free. by logging on to GetMyScoreFree.com. There are actually three credit reporting agencies keeping scores on you that affect the price you pay from lenders and insurers. If one is wrong, isn't that something you should know? Thankfully, you can check out all three for free at GetMyScoreFree.com. No one else offers that service. For the first time, you can see all three of your credit scores in one place. So get your three credit reports now for free by logging on to GetMyScoreFree.com. That's GetMyScoreFree.com.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. January is National Eye Care Month, a time when many of us use our new health insurance plans to get our eyes checked. Sadly, millions of people around the world don't have this luxury. This month, stop by Eyes on Broadway and donate your old glasses, which will be redistributed when Dr. Tom Barreto travels to Peru this March to perform eye exams for those less fortunate. A great way to start out the new year. Donate your old glasses at 2300 Northeast Broadway or learn more at eyesonbroadway.com.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to pack the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Tim sends me an email. He says he owns a tux. He says, yes, I own a tux. They're actually quite reasonable, but you have to get at least 5 wearings out of them to make them worth the effort. I'll go bar hopping every once in a while just to yank people's chains. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Louise hands me this story from WTOPnews.com about why she definitely does not want to go to Washington, D.C. with me. The masses heading to the inauguration of President-elect Barack Obama could spend a lot of time in line for a porta-potty. A George Washington University law professor says the 5,000 porta-potties planned for the inauguration day will be grossly inadequate. Professor John Banfass, the so-called father of potty parity, sent a letter to the presidential inaugural committee warning of lawsuits. He says women who take longer in the restroom could be forced to wait in longer lines than men, and that amounts to discrimination. So, and of course, waiting in line can trigger medical problems, et cetera, et cetera. So, although I think porta potties are generally gender neutral, so that they can also get pretty grody. 866-303-2270. Marie in Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Marie, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. It's a pleasure to speak to you again. I think the last time I spoke to you, you had Dinesh D'Souza, but not his last visit. I think it was maybe a couple years ago or something like that. But you had asked the question, did we think that the media, was complicit in what has happened to the economy? And I say yes, indeed. They have been complicit in everything that has happened to this country, whether it's the illegal wars, of course the economy, and just with everything, never questioning Bush and his policies. And I'm calling you, I'm listening to you over the internet, because our station here in Ohio was yanked off the air.
Yeah, I know.
And this is, and the same thing happened after the 2006 midterms.
Yep.
We were yanked off.
I understand, Marie. Thank you, and thanks for the point. Here's my take on the media and the economy, and it's pretty straightforward. The extent to which I am willing to agree with our conservative guest that the media is responsible for the economic depression is the extent to which the media went along with celebrating the Reagan tax cuts. The media went along with saying, hey, yeah, why doesn't everybody get in the stock market? It's wonderful. In fact, we can even do away with Social Security. The stock market's so wonderful. Put some more money there in the stock market. The media went along with, oh, the price of oil is going up. You better get in and invest in oil. The media went along with all that kind of stuff. And boom. You know, the media was celebrating Reaganomics. The media was celebrating these crazy economic systems. And that's, in my opinion, where the you know, to the extent that you can blame the media, that's where it is. Bill in Virginia. Hey, Bill. Bill, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Tom. Thank you. I have a couple of questions. I'm giving a talk on energy policy and the economy, and I read the last Hours of Ancient Sunlight,
mm-hmm.
and I was very impressed by it. I thought it was an excellent book. The issue that I didn't see addressed in there is natural gas. And
right.
I have some understanding of that, and I was wondering if you could comment on why you didn't include natural gas and where I could find out more information about natural gas for the talk I'm giving next month.
Well, natural gas is, you know, very much a secondary source of energy for the United States and for most countries. It has grown somewhat recently. It used to be considered a waste product back in the late 19th century. They would just vent the stuff off or burn it off. But it is cleaner than oil. It's one of the reasons why some of the power plants now are being built with it. But it is very, very finite. I mean, you think we have a finite supply of oil. Apparently, we have a more finite supply of natural gas. So, you know, I would simply throw it into the basket along with coal, gas, natural gas, and oil. They're all produced by the same, you know, process. And they're all fossil fuels, and they're all ways of extracting carbon out of the crust of the earth and throwing it up into the atmosphere and exacerbating global warming and, you know, just progressively making things worse and worse. So that's my take on natural gas, Bill. And I just, you know, and we need, you know, we need to get off that as well. Scott in Santa Monica. Hey, Scott, what's up?
Oh, hi, Tom. Nice to talk to you. Listen, I just want to mention, you were talking about unemployment. I see Japan as a large country with a low unemployment rate and a small army. I see America as a large country with a high unemployment rate and a large army. And I was just wondering what you think of the idea that we need a high unemployment rate in order to have a pool of people who will join the service.
Yeah, this is exactly what Thomas Jefferson predicted back when he said that if the banking corporations got power in the United States, they would bankrupt our country and we would find that our young men would be willing to be shot at for a sixpence. And
he
went on to say, I hope I never see the day in my country where our young men are willing to be shot at for a sixpence. You know, the tragedy of, and of course he had seen nations like Germany had a very, very severe recession in the 1760s and 1770s. And so one of the major things that German young men did, was they got on a boat and shipped to the United States, where as many as 10% of them just died in the passage just to be, you know, the Hessian soldiers, to be mercenaries, to fight on, frankly, on both sides. You know, soldiers for rent. And that's what we've got. That's what we've become. You're absolutely right. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to have, it's going to be a wild day, Richard Pearl and Pat Buchanan. It should be great fun. Don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Get out there, get active. Tell them to roll back the Reagan tax cuts. Call your congressman and your senator. Tag your it or your congresswoman. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.